I am unashamed. What about you?
Yeah, no facial profiling here today. So we got a couple of guests on in the unashamed lair today. We want to welcome Justin. As it is, Chappie, right? Are you Chappie or are you Justin? Because so
most people just call me Chappie.
Chappie, okay. Well, I saw that because I watched the first episode, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. So we got Chappie and we got Hank, and Hank's got the bigger beard, which and actually look, Hank's got like a. He's got like a little braid in his beard. Look at that, what? Dad.
I didn't even realize.
That's impressive.
The extent of the beard.
Well, it was a big full beard before Hurricane Laura. And then spending 6 weeks out there without running water or electricity, it just kind of got tied. And now it's a permanent thing.
Yeah,
but that's kind of like you look like a Viking. You know, it's like you see those old movies and stuff, like when they would take it and cinch it up here and have put a big thing on top of your head.
Combat ready.
Now that you said it, I'm going to start dressing like a Viking.
I think you would. I think you could.
He already
pull it
acts
up.
Like it. So
my first thought was, I know 100% that no one has ever tried to mug you.
Has anyone ever tried to mug you, Hank?
No.
I told you. No,
that's exactly right.
Prediction, true.
So I wanted to start there because I watched the first episode, so I know a little bit about your backgrounds. But, Hank, you went from a football coach to a rock star. You're going to have to tell me how do you make that transition? Because Dad went from a football player to a duck call maven. And, you know, that was an interesting story. But how do you go from football coach to a rock star?
When I was young, I was like hyper competitive. If I went bowling with you, I was mad if you beat me by two pins. You know, so I played football in high school. I played football in college. And then I went and joined the Army, went off on all these great adventures all over the world in the military. Came home and got a job. I was a special ed teacher. And I got a job. I was a special ed teacher and a football coach. And we actually took a team in North Carolina that had never won a playoff game to a state championship game. We lost, but we were up 28-14 at halftime. And we blocked two punts. They just stopped punting it. It'd be fourth down and one, they'd get 2 yards. Fourth and three, they'd get 4 yards. It was heartbreaking. And then they made us have a parade in that city that Monday after that game because they were so proud of us and none of us wanted to even think about it.
Well, I'm going to tell you why you were successful. Because they were scared to death when you walked up and said, I'm now your football coach.
They probably never had one so intimidating. Yes.
Yeah. But I had some issues with PTSD type stuff. And I was burying myself in work. And you played football, so you know that like that's a lot of time. And the coaches – it's more time for the coaches than it is for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one day I hit a breaking point and I drove my truck into a telephone pole.
Wow.
And I broke my neck. I collapsed one of my lungs, broke my hip. And I was hurt so bad that the VA had someone living at my house to make sure that I was waking up in the morning and able to eat and clean myself up. And she drug me out to this open mic. And I was watching all these young kids going up there and playing and, you know, and I finally figured out that, man, if I write a song and I sing the song, those guys are going to listen to what I'm saying for 3.5-4 minutes. Hmm. Right. And they're not going to interrupt me and tell me that it sounds dumb. And if anything, they come up and say, oh man, I could relate with that. And next thing you know, I'm on a record label.
Wow.
And then next thing you know, I'm getting invited to play at the president's inauguration, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like you guys, you know, something happened that just changed your life and put you in a position that you could do more, you know?
Wow. Yeah, music became your pathway, right? I mean, that kind of became your pathway to communicate.
Oh yeah, of course. And then when I actually met Chappie at, one of the inaugural events in DC in 2017,
mm-hmm.
And he was given the invocation and my band was the entertainment.
Wow.
And since then we've just become really good friends,
right.
You know, and kind of finding that purpose and friendship you know, that I guess I didn't have after the military.
So Chappie, tell our audience kind of what you guys have done and a little bit about the series and kind of what led you to that. I know the first two episodes, I think, have aired. I watched the first one, which was really good, by the way.
Thanks.
Very moving and powerful. So just tell our audience kind of what you guys did and what you're still doing.
Well, we got connected and actually started with a friendship. You know, because I know this might sound odd, but chaplains can come back and struggle with PTSD and depression too. You know, and we went through a lot while I was deployed. A lot of casualties, you know, 17 killed in action and 200 Purple Hearts out of an 800-man unit. And, you know, I put a film together while I was deployed. We released that film, No Greater Love, and then came back. And I just felt lost after releasing that film. And, I did the inaugural event, and that's where I became friends with Hank. And we decided to do a morning call, just accountability and kind of check up to see how each other are doing. And it was from that call that we really became friends. And it was from that friendship we started talking about, well, how can we use our different skills and talents to help people? Because that's when we really felt like we were, you know, right. You know, he was a medic, I was a chaplain, and we felt like we were in sync when we were helping people. So I went down to Texas and we started talking about, well, how can we use our different skills and talents to do good? And we're creative guys. And my wife suggested, like, hey, just call it Do Good. Like, okay, we'll call it Do Good. And we decided to do a YouTube series, and we just donate the monetization of views to the charities or individuals we cover. Well, it was the day after we came up with the idea for the series that we heard about Hurricane Laura headed to Lake Charles. So God's timing. And that's when we decided to launch it. So I came down and we started recording, looking for the people who are making an impact and doing good.
So saying you're from Lake Charles, right, Chappie?
Originally Texas, Stephenville, Texas, but I married a Cajun girl.
Oh, okay. So that's how you wound up there.
You two remind me.
Yeah, I'm an import.
Y'all remind me of a text in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Endure a hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if you compete in the games, you know, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. These two, they good soldiers of Christ Jesus, pretty cool.
Yeah, I was drawn to the title, doing good, because that's what one of Dad's, you know, battle cries.
I've heard him say that in my life. I would say 100,000 times. He'll say, "Why don't you just do good? Do something good."
Now we're not trying to do great. That's other people. We just do good.
Also, we copyrighted it. And so you just said,
Phil, boy, you're supposed to pay these boys a lot of money.
Somebody's going to be knocking on your door.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Bible verses that says that simple statement.
That's right.
I mean, I would say. Yeah.
They might have beat us to the punch.
Yeah.
Well,
look, so tell me, so obviously then both of your background in military has shaped you for what you're doing now. And that's one of the things I got out of watching the first episode. I mean, what you guys went through, but also then kind of even telling some of the stories over there and then bringing that back and then the difficulty in coming back. How would you relate what you went through, you know, in your service in the military to now what you've seen, say, post hurricanes and what you've seen in these disaster areas in terms of some similarities?
Well, I can tell you one thing that I noticed was that, you know, combat, that destruction's intentional, right? Yeah. But the destruction from that hurricane was worse than some of the... I was in Iraq in 2003. I was part of the invading force. I was at Baghdad International Airport when it was still Saddam International Airport.
Wow.
Right? So I saw Baghdad right after the shock and awe, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds of bombs. There is a city called Cameron that was just gone. There, I mean, 55 houses on that street, there weren't even foundations to them.
Wow.
But the thing that I noticed was that And it happened in Iraq too, is that the people were, if someone was hungry, they would find them and feed them. You know, if someone had food, it didn't matter if they were surgeons. We went to one place and there was a surgeon right next to an auto mechanic and they're serving food to each other. You know, they were just part of that crew. That was the thing that I noticed the most was the destruction from the hurricane.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have it's fire versus water too, and they're both super destructive.
Right.
Yeah.
What I saw in Afghanistan was that when times were at its worst and it was a tragedy or a disaster going on, heroes rose up. And I think they almost always do. And when stuff comes at its worst, you know, people become their best. And that's what we saw here in Lake Charles. And so when we turned the cameras on, I had no question that heroes were going to stand up. We just had to go find them. And that's what we started doing, is just looking for those people who were making incredible sacrifices and just to help and save others. And so these stories are going to inspire people. And that's kind of what we need right now.
That's right.
Something that renews your faith in humanity, especially during these times.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that because I jotted that down. You guys talked a lot about disunity, division, you know, sort of what we see in the country. And we talk about it a lot on this podcast in terms of what we see in America. And yet what you saw in the response was just the opposite. You saw unity. You saw people being brought together. So talk a little bit about that, because I thought that was a great theme of the first episode.
You know, it's that it's the same kind of stuff that I saw in Afghanistan too. Like the military is a very diverse group of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people all different kinds of faith backgrounds, you know, religions, you know, able to come together and serve and be even be willing to die for one another. And that's what we saw happening here in Lake Charles. You know, people were not worried about people's backgrounds, politics, religions. They just served one another, cared for one another, and reached out and tried to help each other. And it was beautiful.
I remember there was a prayer meeting at the flagpole. We went to go see what was going on and then to take part. And there was a Catholic priest. There was a Jewish rabbi. There was, I guess,
an imam.
They really represented all of the faiths. You know, and it wasn't a press event. That was what was impressive to me.
Wow.
Was it wasn't, hey, we're going to bring the cameras here to do this. No, it was the religious leader and the mayor put this together just for the prayer, you know, and the only cameras that were there were us. And we just showed up because we knew about it. They didn't ask us to come.
Which is very powerful. All right, let's take a break. I'm sure you two probably don't know this, but the average American has 97 points they can add to their credit score, and they have no idea how to get them. Did you know that?
No. Great. Sounds exciting.
It is exciting if you need to borrow some money, because your higher credit score can help you get lower interest. And our friends at ScoreMaster basically have come up with some new science that super boosts your credit score. They can do 61 points in 20 days or less. That's 61 points, which makes a big difference on your money. You can save quite a few $1,000s. So if you are about to do a home loan or maybe a loan for a boat or something else you've been wanting, you might want to check these guys out. If you have a small business, it might be of help to you as well. ScoreMaster puts you in control of your finances, not the banks. You can roll in minutes and see how many points ScoreMaster can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/Phil. That's scoremaster.com/Phil. Get your credit score up. Tell our audience, so what do you guys kind of think? What are the future episodes going to look like? Kind of, you know, give us a little bit of a going forward, what this is going to, because it's 10 parts, right, for the series? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've released two.
For this season.
Right.
Yeah.
Give us a little heads up on where we're going for folks that maybe have watched the first couple. So what kind of stories are you guys going to tell?
Well, so it's going to be, and it's kind of all over the place. It's looking at all the different aspects of a disaster.
Yeah.
And so the first part was just an introduction, the first episode of who we are. The next two episodes are about the Cajun Navy. And the next episode after that's going to be about animals and what happens to our furry friends in the midst of a disaster and who's rescuing them. Mm. You know, who's stepping out to go and try to help them. And then it's going to cover food, you know, what's happening to with the frequency and severity of these disasters increasing, you know, what's going on in the midst of that. How are we going to react to this type of stuff? You know, we're going to be having that conversation.
Right.
There was an incredible thrift shop that became the center of a community that actually, we got new clothes in the process. It's basically, it's a variety of different things. Yeah. So it's hard to kind of pinpoint, but I could go episode by episode.
Well, and one of the episodes that I'm excited about, obviously, because you know I'm a musician, is we came down to San Antonio right after the freeze. You know, the hurricane was bad.
Yep.
The second hurricane made it worse, but then all of a sudden everything froze, and it got so cold in San Antonio that the water, the city water, froze. And an apartment complex burned to the ground because the firefighters couldn't put water on it because they didn't have access to any water.
Wow.
I mean, it was hard. But one of the things was the VFW downtown in San Antonio is it's the second oldest one in the country and the oldest one in Texas.
Yeah.
But it had $250,000 worth of damage, water damage to it when the pipes burst. Hmm. I called one of my friends who's a Tejano singer. But he's like a huge Tejano singer. He's got 3 Grammys, you know, big Tejano singer. And I said, hey, man, I have a rock band. You have a Tejano band. When in San Antonio, you'll hear those on the same playlist, right? So I said, let's play a show for him. And he said, sure. And so we put on a concert down on the Riverwalk in San Antonio. And there were maybe a couple hundred people there, but, you know, it's still social distance stuff. Just so that we could film it and try to direct some money to that VFW to help those guys.
Yeah. So it's the first 10 episodes are focused on Hurricane Laura and Delta and the mm-hmm. aftermath. And then after that, we're transitioning to veteran and military stories.
Awesome.
But essentially what we're going to be doing with Do Good is whenever there's a disaster or something's hitting hard, we mobilize and try to help and try to tell the most inspiring stories that we find.
Well, and give people a way to financially help.
Tell our audience of one, how they can see it. And then also once you watch, what can they do that then helps to be able to raise money for what you guys are doing?
So the best way to find us is go to on Facebook and look up Do Good Army and join us there. Cause that's where we put most of our updates. And then on YouTube, you just have to search for Do Good.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is we're donating the monetization of views. That's the money that YouTube makes. And the money is going straight to our local United Way of Southwest Louisiana.
Yep.
And then they redirect the funds to the individuals or charities that we're covering in that episode. Perfect. And we're also going to be donating merchandise. So t-shirts, swag, cups, all that fun stuff. So you can look fashionable and do good. And so that's how we're doing this. But the thing that we saw that was a major problem was a lot of these charities that were coming to give us aid were financially struggling because for the past year, they haven't been able to raise funds.
That's right.
Most of the people who were donating to them before didn't have the money to give. So we knocked our heads together and this is our way of trying to solve that problem. So that way, just by watching and sharing, you're still making a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I think Hank said that in the first episode. You watch and share, and then we'll make sure, you know, that we continue to raise the money. And that's easy for us to do.
This reminds me of Romans 13.
Dad's got another scripture.
Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, which these guys are clearly into. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. You say, how in the world could that happen? The commandment, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourselves. And listen to this. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law, which you gentlemen have with what you are doing is a fulfillment of love God and love your neighbor as yourself. The two greatest commands in the Bible. So kudos to y'all.
I was going to say, what's so inspiring about y'all? I have a lot of military friends who struggle with PTSD, and it's always hard because I'm friends with them. I'm trying to encourage them, you know, and I just don't know what to say or do a lot of times. And so you're just there. But, you know, when I heard y'all's stories, I got this sense of you saw these dramatic things that, you know, really people shouldn't be seeing, and you deal with it because you love us and love our country, and we're so thankful for that. But then when you come back, it's like you find your lows, but y'all concluded rightfully, you know, we need a purpose. And to me, what's inspiring to me is you see that just in your 2-minute opener, you saw this huge transformation process that took place that's now inspiring us. And I know, you know, fellow military comrades who are going through the same thing. So I just wanted to say, you know, from the bottom of my heart, we appreciate y'all.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Well, thanks for what you guys are doing and also sharing it with our unashamed audience. We have a large audience, so we want to encourage folks to check these guys out. Check out Do Good, because it's going to help them do more good in the future. And, man, as guys from Louisiana, we're especially grateful that, you know, because our state was so hard hit, that you started here. I'm glad that God was right there to open that door for you.
Some have said we have redneck leanings.
I like it.
Any last words for our audience?
I do want to say Justin Roberts' movie, No Greater Love, is on Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it for free and get a good idea of what Justin's about.
Yeah, and what led it to here.
You gotta check out Three Beards. The band. The legend. That's his band. Yeah.
Three Beards.
Not one, not two. You get all three.
Maybe we could work out where that could be our theme song.
Yeah, Three Beards.
But Al, you're gonna have to grow.
This is the beard I choose to have, so stay off of my beard. All right, guys, that's perfect. Thank you so much for spending a little time with us. We want to encourage folks to check this out, and hopefully God will continue to open doors for you guys to do good.
Awesome.
Appreciate you guys. Right.
Thanks for having us. It's good meeting you guys.
Well, that was good.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you get guests on, and so some of our Zach and some of his people had heard of these guys, and so I had not. And so when I looked up and watched that first episode, I watched the trailer, and then I watched the first episode, and I was like, man, these are our kind of guys. I mean, one is, you know, we obviously love the military and, you know, appreciate people's service, but Jace, you said it on the thing. The fact that to come out of your own demon, so to speak, and I didn't know, like, they said on our episode was not on their show about, I mean, what Hank shared was amazing, because I didn't know that he had attempted suicide, you know?
So, well, look, you get in that mode and you're doing something for a greater good, and then all of a sudden it's all gone away and you're back. It's just hard to know what to do. And you already got to deal with the emotional trauma of everything you went through.
Right.
And so for those guys to rise up, you know, out of the ashes, I mean, that is inspiring to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought so too.
Wow.
And of course, you know, the fact that as you're saying, Dad, you know, always on the do good, I thought that just really fit.
It is.
It's the most off quoted.
Oh, you see it all the time.
Oh, it's,
you know, what's ironic is Sunday. I mean, I didn't even know this was going on. And then Sunday, you know, we have a group of people who basically work under the heading of One Kingdom, and they go do relief ministries, and they showed a video of in Lake Charles.
I know, I thought the same thing.
And there was an older African-American woman who they just set up camp and helped that woman.
Yeah.
And it was, as in, tear-jerking story.
Oh, it was amazing.
And that woman was awesome, just her attitude. And I mean, you just don't realize when you see a blip on the news what's going on.
Well, and let's take another break. So I don't know if it's just, this is a good question for y'all, because I'm the oldest in our clan, and both of y'all obviously are not. And I've always been interested in, like, in history, family history. Like, I love getting old pictures and looking at them, trying to figure out who's in the picture. Do y'all have that same thing, or is that just because I'm the oldest? I mean, I'm just curious, because do you love history or love finding out about old pictures of family and stuff like that?
No. I'm just glad.
You were never that way either, were you, Dad?
I'll keep it simple. I'll wake up and say, I'm glad I'm alive.
There's so much more, Chase. So one of our sponsors, which is one of my favorites, is Ancestry.com. And they're kind of built on that whole premise. And like I said, I don't know, maybe it's just firstborn. I mean, our audience could probably tell me. But I've always been interested in that, finding out about who we are, where we're from, things like that. So I'm sure there's a lot of you out there that are as well, that unlike Jay, is just trying to survive every day.
No, once I get into it, once the pictures come out, right.
And you do like history, or you wouldn't be finding all this treasure.
That's right.
So if you want to find out about your ancestry, go to Ancestry.com/Phil, and you're going to get a free trial. That's Ancestry.com/Phil, and find out about your family history. But they describe it, Jay's in the, you know, in the video. We did a video, our guys did, about 10 minutes about the story Jace is talking about. And I didn't think about it at the time, but in the video they described that we had because we do relief work, you know, through our church. And so we had a group of people ready. They were going to go down to Lake Charles. You can't go for a couple of days till it's safe to go, and then you go. So we had this group ready. Well, what we didn't realize is, you know, you don't know what a hurricane's going to do. Once it comes on, you're not sure where it's going to come on. Well, that thing, when it comes down the southwest part of Louisiana, they peel back. Well, guess what? The most powerful storm to hit us in 150 years, when it went over right here, it was still over a high category one.
75
miles an hour. Miles an hour. So what happened was, we had this whole group of people who were going to send down to Lake Charles. And then all of a sudden, we got to clean up our own backyard, because we got tree. How many tree? What on your property, Dad? What did it look like?
It took three and a half, four days to cut our way into our boathouse a couple of miles away.
Yeah.
Which is beginning in my yard, and the trees were just kawam, bam, hitting, tearing down power line. And there were probably 10 or 15 trees within a mile stretch. Right. Just to get back to the main road. And then you couldn't go anywhere because the trees were there. So they were just right, you know, you're just driving along and you look up and there's a bull oak tree, just power lines underneath it, just right across the road all the way. So we had our own equipment, and they thanked us later, the energy people, because we at least got a trail that would hold a vehicle going out. So,
and y'all didn't have power for what, a week at least? I mean, you have a generator, but I'm saying
we have a generator, and
it was over a week out in this.
It's ready to go 24/7 at all times.
I was a week, you know,
in here, but you say we would not function very well without a generator. It takes 15 or 20 seconds when everything goes south and the electricity is off in the middle of the night, and you got a howling 75 mile. Well, that generator fires up, and here we go.
We lost a third of our trees, or they were damaged, you know, at our log town house, which is incredible because those trees have been there for 300 years.
Yeah.
It tells you, withstood every other storm, but that one storm, a third of them gone.
So
in this section, you say, what brings the rednecks all together at once? A hurricane or ice storm, the rednecks start gathering up and the equipment starts being broken out. You know, everybody between them, you know, especially us, we've got enough equipment to do some serious tree cutting. You see what I'm saying?
Yep. Well, I've gone on a few of those relief trips through the years, you know, more when I was younger. But seeing it, it was always life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, one of the few things I can do well is run a chainsaw. So, I mean, I'd volunteer and go down there. But, yeah, you know, I learned something from those. We had a guy that used to head that up. Yelton was his last name.
Mm-hmm. And Don Yelton.
I remember one time we were in a bus. There's 40 or 50 of us. And
we were going to New Iberia, Louisiana.
I just remember he kept stopping. And, you know, I'm getting up, going to get my stuff. You know, here we go again. And we were just driving around, and I was sitting there thinking, well, we're spending all this time trying to figure out where we're supposed to go.
We should be down there cutting stuff.
Well, right. Yeah. I was like, no, just let me out, because I was looking. The job was so massive to do, and I was getting kind of frustrated. And so I said something to him as I was getting off, and he's like, well, you got to remember, I was doing that on purpose.
Yeah.
He said, I was letting them know hope has arrived.
That's right. Yep.
And, you know, it hit me that I thought, yeah, there's a psychological issue. I mean, a lot, even that those military guys had to go through in their own life, you know, the psychological issue is just as important as cleaning the tree out of their yard. And he was right,
yeah,
because people, they were feeding off our energy, in that we're not getting paid to do that. We're not, right. We've all volunteered because we love you and we value you as a human being, and we're going to do something good here.
You got to remember, for the last 5 years in a row, there's water that has come up flooded. We have 1,600 acres of land right now we own. About 5 acres, Al, in the last 5 years stayed dry. And someone asked me, they said, well, out of all the acreage you have, you know, what part are you on? I said, the 5 acres that's a little higher than all the rest of it. So water's up to 20 yards of my house for the last 5 years. We're used to floods, but it's, you know, we're prepared for them as best you can get. We go another route. We have to walk across to our house instead of drive and all that. You say, but you can get around it. So we're used to floods.
Well, we live in such a low state. We don't have any hills here. I mean, Crawfish Mounds is about as high as you get. And the further you move south, the flatter it gets.
That's correct.
From up here. So we're always susceptible to any of these things. Jace, I had the same reaction because I was on that trip with you. That was Andrew, I think, was the storm. And, you know, I felt like we were kind of showing off. I mean, I was like, we went to the city hall and met the mayor, and I was thinking, why are we doing all this? But again, Yelton was he's a wise old veteran. He knew what we were there for, as much as cutting some trees off and passing out some water, was the idea to let these people know that there's people that care about you who are going to show up to help you. And I think that more than anything, there were a couple of quotes that I didn't mention when the guys were on, but I wrote them down. Hank said in the first episode, do good is about hope, this series. And then Chappie said, coming back from your lowest point is what the series is all about. And so I thought about that in relationship to people that are in some devastated area. I mean, the emotional toll in a situation like that is as bad as anything, because you just got, there's no base of operation. Your house is gone. In some case, people lose their lives. I mean, it's a hard, tough thing. And it would, you think about it, it takes some military guys who have been through war and some other things to really have an appreciation, you know, for what to do in a situation like that, which our guy happened to be that way too. Let's take another break. So, Jace, when's the last time you went and bought some stamps? Do you mail a lot of stuff?
I don't know if I've ever bought a stamp. Al, help me.
What about you, Phil? Have you ever bought stamps?
I used to collect stamps when I was like 8 years old.
Where do you go to buy them? Post office?
Yeah.
You can. Most time you're going to pay, you know, the full price. But we've actually got a sponsor where you can save some money if you do a lot of postage and you mail a lot of stuff. Maybe you're a small business. At one time, I can promise you this, both of your wives have bought a lot of stamps, for sure. It's called stamps.com.
Huh.
That makes sense. It saves you time and money. Basically, you get discounts of 40% off from the post office rates or 66% off a UPS shipping rate. So stamps.com is where you go. It's going to save you some money. Don't go to the post office. You can go here instead. No risk. Use the promo code UNASHAME. And you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in UNASHAME. At stamps.com, use the promo code UNASHAME. Save you some money on your postage. So, Jace, this the film we did on the woman you mentioned, So what happened was since we were delayed in getting to Lake Charles a while, just cleaning up our own area here with some of our crews, we eventually got down there because we didn't even want to talk about North Louisiana, and it was bad for us, but compared to them at the brunt of it, we were just kind of like, man, we're going to be okay. So we sent some crews down there. And so you always wonder, in a situation like that, the task is so big, it almost feels overwhelming even to relieve people, because it's like, where do we start? And do you just spread around a little money? Because you get some money that starts to come in. Do we spread around a little to everybody, or what do we try to do? So one of our guys that was kind of directing this project decided, we're one group and we're not sure how much we've raised some money, but how are we going to implement this to bless as many people as possible? And so they wound up they found this African-American woman who was a great sister in Christ, and her house was too small. FEMA couldn't get in where she was. They were in a lot of areas there helping people. So she kind of was in a left out area. And so they said, Corey and some other people helped raise some money. And they said, we're going to go in here and we're going to totally fix this woman's house, because it was just a disaster zone. I mean, it just had all these holes in the ceiling, water's pouring in from every time it rains. And her house was just basically destroyed. And so a crew went in there, and the original guy came in. Then every weekend for 2 months, a crew would come from North Louisiana and they would work on this woman's house. And they totally transformed it. And, of course, what happened was the finished result was a place, obviously, that was way nicer than what she originally had, which was just a blessing for her. And so on the film, it shows when she comes in and sees it for the first time. And I don't know about you, Jace, but that's what got me. What got me was I thought, we're all about life change, because we talk about the gospel changing lives. But, there's a lot of different ways to change someone's life. Mm-hmm. This woman's life was completely changed because some people had a heart to try to rebuild her home.
I think what makes it different also, I mean, there's TV shows that capture that moment and help people, which we're all for. But it was like he said, this is nobody's fault. It's a storm.
That's right.
And tragedy strikes, and there's literally nothing you can do about it, and you're just glad to be alive. And then you have people move in. I think about this Romans 12 when tragedy happens in this light, because I don't think the intent was when a hurricane comes, where's a hurricane verse? Because a lot of people are blaming God and saying, why did this happen? But if you just read this section, you see how you should operate when that happens. If this was like made into a 10-point code of hurricane relief, I mean, just think about it in that context. It starts off, this is Romans 12:9, says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, which is they've made a whole, that's their mantra on it, clinging to what is good. Because every time a storm happens, the people who survive, some are helping others. But then there's always a crew of evil doers taking advantage of the situation.
Correct.
Every time. So we hate what's evil. We cling to what's good. We devote ourselves to one another in brotherly love, and we honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, because you're always going to be struggle with depression and anxiety. But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality, whatever you have left, or if you come in, you bring your hospitality with you. Bless those who persecute you, because people are angry. Some people are angry in these situations. And do not curse, which is hard to do with all that going on.
That's right.
Rejoice with those who rejoice, because in those moments, there's people that you thought were lost that are found, people who you thought were going to die who live. So there's joyous moments in there, but there's also moments with you mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another, which is one of the stories they said. We tend to put down our backgrounds, our religious views, our political views in those moments, and we unite as human beings who are trying to care for each other. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited, which is an issue about who you're going to help and where you're going to help and which kind of people. You know, he's just giving you an image of how to respond in life in general, but especially when tragedy starts, that is 100% on the mark. You know, and he goes on to say, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. He's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you know, you will heap burning coals on the head of those who mean them harm. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because you think about it, I mean, something that's motivated by love and selflessness is always going to be so much, you know, better received than something just out of duty or what. I mean, you know, we said, well, whose job is it to go in and help these people? I mean, that's a lot of people think that way. Instead of saying, you know what, let's just go help these people. And look, whether what the color of your skin makes no difference in a disaster, because both on those that receive, but also those that give. So the same things that divide us so much in regular conversation in a situation like that, nobody cares about any of that stuff.
No.
What difference does that make? I mean, and that's really the way we should just live all the time.
I mean, we do it in our military, in our, you know, police force and firemen. I mean, their code of ethics, whenever that gets out of line, obviously it's a huge controversy.
Sure.
But most of the time, and I say most as in there's probably less than 1% of the time it doesn't happen. I mean, firemen rushing into a house, they're not thinking what color the people are in the burning house. It's not even going through our head. That's why I said, if you can't live out Romans 12 in this situation, you're sure not going to live it out just in your everyday life.
Nope.
But that we should be like this all the time, which, you know, we get ours from the Holy Spirit of God. But when I see other people doing these same principles, it's always good.
Yep. So let's take one last break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
There was a situation here that happened during this same time frame of the storm that I thought's worthy of that. And this is there's a guy and his family that work with mom and dad over at university. We call him Jersey Joe, and Jersey Joe is from New Jersey. And
shocking.
Dad, I think you gave that nickname, right? Are you the one that started calling him Jersey Joe?
Well, Phil can't call anybody by his real name.
No, so. Jersey Joe. And so Joe, you know, is some kind of programmer or something, very successful. And he's lived his whole life in New Jersey, or most of his life. And, you know, it's a lockdown state and it's been tough. And somehow he started watching Duck Dynasty on Fox Nation. And then that led him to the podcast. And so he and his family had been thinking about relocating to the South, you know, because it just, you know, North's different, you know, how people react. And so he winds up, he said, you know what? This is during the pandemic. He said, we're going to move to Monroe, Louisiana. We'll do our business from there. And so he came down here. Two of his three kids, I think, are here with him. And one of them is a first responder. And they just relocated to Louisiana. And they started coming over there with y'all and helping out. And so
great guy, great family,
great family. So Joe was telling me, he said, you know, this is when we knew. He said, we'd been here 1 week. They'd visited us, told us they had moved to town, wanted to be a part of our church. We're excited about that. And so then the hurricane hits. He said, we've been in Louisiana 1 week and the hurricane comes through and a big tree fell on their house. that they just bought. They've been in 1 week in his office, which is, you know, where he does our work. It was, that's the main, took the main brunt of it. So we were like, oh, wow, we get to Louisiana. Man, now we got a hurricane. He said, and the next day, 30 or 40 people with red One Kingdom shirts show up at our house and start sawing down that tree and then helping the, our neighbor had some property down. And he said, we all looked at each other and we thought, this is why we came here. Because if we'd have been in New Jersey, there wouldn't have been anybody, you know, showing up from, for, you know, trying to help us out. And so it was amazing that they had been here a week and immediately saw this is what selfless, you know, love looks like. And they got to experience it. And of course, they're that way. I mean, they'll do anything. Joe's just like, yep. What can I do? So I thought it was a neat story at the time, but it also reminded me, Dad, I mean, the one thing that struck me, you remember this hurricane hit last summer, and this was at the end of just this terrible summer with the first it was protests, then it was riots, then it was just, it just felt like every city in America was on fire, all the major ones. And I just remember thinking at the time when I saw this response to these hurricanes of people, especially in our state and some in our community, that, it, you know, it's really, it doesn't take much time to destroy something.
That's correct.
I mean, a short period of time, those storms came through. It only got one day and all that damage, but it takes so much longer to build and rebuild effort-wise.
Yep.
And so I thought about that. That's so, you know, Jesus in John 10, when he was talking about the evil one, he said he came here to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's easy. That's easy to be destructive.
Yep.
But he said, I came that you may have an abundant life, which is much harder to build. And yep. So I don't know, it just that was kind of what I took from it this last summer when I just saw how you react to things, you know, that's really the attitude you want to have. But it's yep. hard. It's hard to build and to rebuild.
Very much so.
And it takes love to be able to do it.
Well, and God is the ultimate builder. I love that Hebrews 3:4 that says every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Right. You know, he goes on to say that we are his house.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, from a spiritual perspective, you realize that in the end, this is a volatile place. There's earthquakes, hurricanes, but it only matters because we're perishable. We're weak. We're, even if you avoid all these and live in a state where there's never a hurricane, well, you know, a ice storm may get you, yep. or mudslide or
earthquake.
It comes back down to that. And so, you know, God created us to be eternal in mind, but we go through this process where we understand who our maker is. And I think that's what tragedy and struggle does. You realize your frailties and you realize the power of God. And
love never fails.
That's yeah. right. Well, you remember that Jesus even used disaster as an illustration for how you build your own house. Remember when he talked about it, he said, you know, you don't build it on shifting sand. You don't build a foundation on something that's not going to be solid. You want to build it on solid rock. Those are principles of building, but mm-hmm. he's saying in your own spiritual walk, you want to have something solid. If you don't have something solid, what have you got? Yeah. I mean, imagine without faith, you know, and one of the things that we didn't talk about with the guys today, but it's in that first episode, is that all this happened during a pandemic where yeah. people are having to wear masks and all. I mean, like, it wasn't like it was just, I mean, it would have been bad anyway, but at the same time, you're just like, well, how do we do this? How do we do this and still try not to get coronavirus? I mean, it was hopelessness on top of hopelessness for a big swath of people.
Well, plus I think it puts it in perspective because, you know, I mean, if someone is dying or drowning, I mean, you're not, hang on, let me get my mask on. I mean, you know, yeah. it's like there's other things that are threatening. And in that moment, you kind of,
that's a great point.
You set aside, because I feel like a lot of people, they get hung up on the idea of preventing one thing. And there's tens of thousands of diseases and yeah. things that can happen to you, you know?
Right.
So at some point you realize where you're headed toward just the prevention of doing this is digging a hole in the ground and staying there and avoiding all people. And which is what people, some people do. Yeah. They go find them a mountain and they live there till they die of quotation, natural causes. I never figured that out, you know? It's like, what is natural causes?
Right. Yeah, what does that mean?
Thunder, lightning, floods, earthquakes.
So, I mean, but that's a great point, Jason. You think about it, what I got out of these guys, the idea that there's great risk always, and then there's great reward. And people that are willing to put themselves out there to help other people, no matter what the circumstance. He mentioned about the Cajun Navy. You know, those guys have swung into action every time. And those are mostly from South Louisiana, but we got a bunch of them up here. The rednecks have joined the Cajun Navy. It's the same mm-hmm. thing. Of course, like you said, Dad, there's a time for the big trucks with the big tires. When you got a flood going on, those guys are valuable.
Very much so.
You know, everybody else is getting swept off the road. But if you're a redneck with a big jacked up truck, you're getting in, you know, and getting some people out of it. And we saw that here as well. I mean, all these rescues and stuff like that. So a lot of the just natural way to live.
All these people that were the power line energy people, they were from various states.
Yep.
They were coming from Kentucky and some from Florida.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just had an army of trucks.
Right.
And when they got to the air road, you know, mouth of Cypress Creek Road, when they came down in there, because they were all excited because they said, good night. That's some old guys on TV and on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd go out in the yard, you know, and they'd have, you know, this cadre of them come down there. They had their bulldog. Yeah, they're going. So we're all taking pictures, you know, and then they would leave and another bunch would come down. So we added a little of that to the mix, which it helped.
Well, and I appreciated you and Mom.
In the midst of all the trees down and the work they were doing.
Your spirit in that was that, you know what, these guys have come from all over the country to help our community.
That's right.
The least I can do is go out and take some pictures and meet these guys and appreciate them. Yep. And that's the spirit of the whole thing. And I think that's, I guess, a good way to wrap the podcast today is that do good has good results.
Yep.
Everybody's better. People get help. You feel better about helping other people. I mean, you know, so there's what you said it all your life, Dale. What is wrong with doing good?
What's wrong with doing good?
I like that.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.